All right, glad to be here this morning. Good to see everyone here as well. Good number of folks here. And as Tim mentioned earlier, a holiday weekend. And I hope you've had a good weekend. Looking forward to good Lord's Day. I'm glad to be in church this morning. Amen. And I love being with God's people, love being in church, and love being, of course, in my home church and being able to spend time with those that I know the most and those that know our family as well. It doesn't look like we have too many smiling faces here this morning, though. I mean, this weekend we started college football, and I know your team must have won because Michigan won, and if you're a Michigan fan, they won. Michigan State won, and so you should be happy about that. And even Ohio State won, and even though they didn't look as good as they were advertised, but they won. And Notre Dame won, which is probably the best team of them all, and which is the team that I root for. Next week, Michigan won't be too happy, though. We'll see how that turns out. We'll see how many people are not smiling next week. But Notre Dame plays Michigan next week. But I'm glad to be here, and I know it's muggy outside and it's cloudy, but you know what? We can all still have the joy of the Lord inside. Amen. And I'm glad to be here this morning. Keep your Bibles open there, where we read just a moment ago in Psalm 145. We're gonna look at those three verses several times throughout the message. I don't plan on keeping you long. I don't have a clock up here though, so I don't know what time it is. I don't even have my phone with me, so I apologize for that. But I'll try to be conscious of that somewhat this morning. But I don't plan on keeping you long, and I want to read to you those verses one more time in Psalm. Chapter number 145, starting in verse number 8, the Bible says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." The message I want to bring to you this morning, I take from verse number 9 there, towards the middle part of the verse where it says, "His tender mercies are over all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity of being in church this morning. I pray that you'd bless. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that you'd use me this morning, Lord, to be able to be a blessing to those who are here. Thank you for the faithfulness of God's people, and I pray that you'd be with them this morning and be with me as I get the opportunity to open God's Word and be able to share the message that you've laid on my heart some time ago. That this message has been just on my heart, and I just pray, Lord, I believe this is what you'd have for me to preach this morning, and I pray that it would be a help to those who are here this morning. I pray you be with our preacher who's in Canada this morning. Be with him as he preaches and as he spends time with our missionary there. And I pray that you'd bless them and give them a wonderful Lord's Day there as well, and give them safety as he comes back later on in the week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick update, as Tim mentioned, we are still, of course, as far as us being in Ireland, we're still battling with the immigration. Just seems like they, when we receive a letter back from Ireland, it seems like it's a carbon copy of a Xerox copy of the last letter. And so, just right now, the way things seem, at least for the foreseeable future, we're going to be continuing to make trips over to Ireland. I'm planning on going back in the next few months and spending some time there with a pastor, a friend of ours, actually in Northern Ireland, in Belfast area, and just a local pastor, and just helping him work in his area. We got to know his family quite well. Last time I was over there in June, I got to spend some time with him, and just have struck off just a good friendship with them in that church. And so I'm looking forward to being able to do that. But just continue to pray for us, as Tim mentioned. Don't forget about us. You'll over the next few months, I won't be here as much. As you know, most missionaries, they're quite busy when the fall season comes on them, and the spring time, it gets quite busy with meetings, and mission conferences are going on. We have our own missions conference in October, and I'll be here for that, Lord willing, for most of it. And I'm looking forward to that. But just keep praying for us. Keep on remembering us in prayer. Keep on reading our prayer letter that goes up in the hallway out there. And just don't forget about us, and please pray for us. But over the next few months, I won't be around as much. I think I have a meeting every Sunday for the next 8 Sundays. And so I might be here for one service, but then not the evening or morning, and then I'll be back in the evening or something like that. But just please remember us, and just keep in prayer the country of Ireland, the people in Ireland as they receive the gospel when we're there, and even while we're not there, and the churches that we work with while we go there, that they would continue being able to be faithful getting the gospel out. And things are doing well, though. Things are going well. The DVDs that we've produced, that God's allowed us to produce, they're out in the hands of people, and people are watching them. We have a website set up for those DVDs as well, so we can kind of track how many hits we get on the website, how many people are going there, because they can watch the whole video online as well. And so we're able to kind of keep up on it with that as well. We're about to order the fifth phase of those DVDs, the fifth 1,000 DVDs. We're about to order those in just a few days, and we have the money for it, and about to order them. That way, when I go back in a few months' time, several weeks from now, I'll be able to take those with me and get those out. And so that's halfway, amen? The Lord's allowed us to be able to make 10,000 copies of that DVD, and so we're halfway there. And so that's exciting. I'm thrilled about that. Not even a year into the project, and we're halfway there, so I'm excited about that. So just keep on praying for us, and I'd appreciate that. All right, back to the message for this morning, Psalm 145, and I'm going to read verse number 9 again. If you'd look there, please. The Bible says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." When I read this verse several months ago, God just put those words on my heart about His tender mercies, about His tender mercies, and it just kind of stuck with me. Sometimes you read your Bible, you know what it's like. There's just verses that just kind of pop out to you, just kind of stick out in your mind, and a lot of times I'll just write a little jot on a 3x5 card, a little note, and I'll write on there, "Keep this," because I've got dozens of those cards, maybe 40, 50 of those cards in my desk or in my pocket or at home on the nightstand. And I'll write on there, "Keep this," because I've got so many 3x5 cards all over the place, and just little sermon ideas, little things that God's kind of spoken to me about. And for most preachers, those will turn into a message over time, and they'll kind of cultivate into a message. And that's what happened with this message. And God just spoke to my heart using this and some other things. And I wanted to preaches actually this message in Ireland during this year, but I haven't had the opportunity to preach it yet. But I felt like when Pastor asked me to preach this morning that this was the message God wanted me to bring to our home church, and so I'm excited to be able to do that. I want to start off with a story, an illustration of many of you heard before. Some of you here in here most likely have not. There most likely would be somebody here who's not heard the illustration of when I was younger, when I was about 10, I was about 12 years old. I remember I was helping my father work. We grew up out here on East Beecher Street, where the prison is now, across the street. The house is gone now. But I would help my father in the summertime work on the roof of the house. And as I mentioned, I know some of you have heard this message or this illustration before. But I'd go up there in the summertime, and we'd go up there maybe 3 or 4 times in the summer and just do some patchwork on the roof, because it was in bad shape. It was a fire at the home before I was even born. There was a bad fire there, and my dad couldn't afford to have a roofer come out and do it, so he just patched it up the best he could with tar and tar paper and just really whatever he had. He just did the best he could with it, but it still was in bad, bad shape. And I remember when I was younger, I was, like I said, 12 years old, I remember I was up there one summer helping him. And we'd spend maybe 4 or 5 hours up there till it got dark, and I'd help him, and he knew where the good spots were, the good wood was at, and he knew where the bad areas were to stay away from. And he stuck his foot through the roof before, just being in the bad spot. So he's learned where to stay away from, and where it's safe, and where it's okay to be, and where it's not okay to be. And so while I'm up there helping him, he would tell me, "Now, son, stay away from this area, and you can be over here, and you can be up on the peak up there, but don't go over here, and don't go over there. It's dangerous." And so I obeyed him, and I helped him, and we did all we could do. And the day was over, and my dad said, now tomorrow we're going to work more when I come home from work, and we'll do some more. And I said, "Well, can I help you?" And he said, "Sure, I'd like you to help me." He said, "But don't go up on top of the roof until I come home." He said, "I don't want something to happen. I don't want you to go through the roof, and then you'll go through the ceiling of the kitchen, and you'll be hurt." He goes, don't go up there. It's dangerous, and you don't know where to go." And I said, "Okay, Dad, I won't." So I came home from school that next day. I think it was a Friday, and I got home about 3:15. I went to Madison High School, and I was in middle school at the time, and came home, and I thought, "Well, I'm going to help my dad. He's going to be home at 4:20. He came home every day. He drove home from Dundee, worked at the Dundee Casting, came home, and he was home. He always got home between 4:15 and 4:20, And us kids knew what time he came home because every time he would leave work, he'd stop at a gas station, he'd buy a cup of coffee, and he'd buy a Hostess apple pie. And every day on his way home, he would eat half that Hostess apple pie, and he'd leave the other half in the package there. And the first one of the children that would meet him at the door of the car when he got home, they got that other half of the apple pie. And so I knew what time he came home because I wanted that apple pie. I was watching at the window there when he was coming home. My sister's watching cartoons, and I'm watching out the door and or out the window for him to come home. And so so I'm thinking, okay, I have about an hour before he comes home. And so I thought, well, I'm going to be a blessing and help my dad. And I got the ladder out, and I put it up against the back of the house to kind of get ready to go up on the roof when he came home. And then I thought, well, I'll get the tar out, and I'll get that ready, too. And I got the screwdriver, and I took the lid off the tar bucket and got that ready. And I got some of the tools out and some other things ready, and I thought, wow, it's 3:45, and I still have almost a half an hour, and I think I'll be a bigger blessing, and I'll just take them up on the roof, and I won't go up there. I'll just slide them up on the roof, and that way they're up there for when he comes home. And then before I knew it, I slid them all up there, and I thought, well, I know it's safe to be in this area, so I'll just stay in this area. Before I knew it, I was up on the roof. And then I remember seeing my dad in that area, so I knew that was safe. And before I knew it, I was all over the roof up there on top. And I was getting things ready, and I was getting things prepared, and I thought I had all the time in the world. And before I knew it, I heard my dad pulling into the driveway. We had a gravel driveway, and so when I heard the car pulling in, I knew that it was my dad, and I knew another thing. I knew I was in trouble, amen? I knew he did not want me up there, and I looked down from the roof, and I saw my dad pulling in, and I knew one thing. I wasn't getting the apple pie that day, and it wasn't going to happen. I was in trouble, and so I knew my dad saw me, and he didn't even go in the house. He went and sat on the bottom rung of the ladder, and he just waited for me, and he knew I was going to have to come down eventually, and I was trying to talk my dad out of whooping me, when I was coming down the ladder, but I stayed up there maybe an hour before I was trying to talk my dad out of it. He sat down there, and he drank a cup of coffee, and he just waited patiently for me to come down. I was going to have to come down eventually. I was getting hungry, and so I came down the ladder, and my dad took his belt off, and he started wailing on me. He started going at me, and that's back in the day when it was acceptable to do that. And he really let me have it. He really laid into me. And you know what? When he did that, I was so upset. I was so mad. I thought, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be a blessing. I'm trying to do this. And he punished me. And I didn't understand why. Another time, I remember when I was younger. I don't remember how old I was, but we had this big chair in the living room, and it was real ratty chair, real old chair. And I grew up very poor out there. And if you sat in the back of the chair, sometimes I would, behind the chair, that's where I would hide when I was trying to hide from my dad when he was trying to whoop me. I would hide behind that big chair. But in the back of that chair, there was always these frayed ends coming down from this old chair. And for some reason, I don't know what it was, one day I was sitting behind that chair, and I had a pack of matches with me. And I would light a match, and I would light one of those little frayed things, and it would burn all the way up. And it would go out, and I would say, wow, look at that. And I'd light another match, and I'd light another one of those frayed things, and it would go up, and it'd go out. And I lit another one. And before I knew it, I lit one, and it went up, and it caught on several of them on fire. And before I knew it, the whole back of that chair was on fire. I ran out of there. I was so scared. I think I went and hid in my room, hid under the bed or something. And I just scared to death. And my aunt saw what happened. She started crying, fire, fire. And my dad jumped up, and he was taking a nap and laying down. Kent got up and threw some water on it and got it put out. And I tell you what, the belt came off again. And I didn't have a chair to run behind this time. But he punished me again. And you know, when he did that, I was upset. I didn't like being punished. I didn't like it when I was being corrected. I didn't understand that. It was only when I became a father myself that I understood fully what he was doing. Because I would come home, my wife and I were married, and Joshua was born, and it wasn't early on, but I remember maybe when we were living at the Yellow House over on in Maryville, I would come home from work sometimes, and my wife would say, oh, Joshua, he did this. And he's in his room, and I told him, you're going to come see him when you come home from work, and he's in his room, and he did this. And I knew that I was going to have to go in there, and I was going to have to correct them. I was going to talk to them, and I was going to have to punish them. I was going to have to correct them. And it was only then when I fully understood that that's what my father was doing to me when I was growing up. I didn't correct him because I was mad at him. I didn't correct him because I was being mean. I corrected my son because he did something wrong. He disobeyed, and because it could have been a danger to him. It could have hurt him. It could have led him down the wrong path, and I was just correcting him. And not only him, but Kendall's had her share, and Suzanne's had her share, and you know what it's like when you have children. But I didn't fully understand that until I had my own children, and I understood that there was danger, and that I had to, and that my father was correcting me, and I was correcting my son. And I remember another time, real quick. And we'll get into the message right after this. This is just all introduction. I remember another time my cousin was staying with us, my cousin John, and just staying out there on Beecher Street. And I remember he was in the kitchen one day, and my aunt always made homemade tortillas. And we would snack on those. She makes some homemade tortillas. We put some butter on them, and nothing was better. And that was just the best snack to have. And just always making tortillas at our house. And so I remember my cousin was warming one up on the stove, and he put it there, and then he'd flip it over. He'd do that 3 or 4 times, and nice and hot, and it was just homemade tortillas were just the best thing. And I remember one day he had a long sleeve shirt on, and he reached over the stove to grab something, and the tail of his shirt
fell into the fire like that there.
And before you knew it, his whole shirt on his left side was on fire. And his whole arm was on fire. And he fell to the ground and started rolling. And I don't remember who was. I was very young, like 5 or 6 years old when this happened. And just got the fire put out. But he just was burned terribly. Went to the hospital, and they did all they could, you know, do to him to help him and fix him. But today, his whole arm is scarred and burned. And his whole side is scarred and burned because of an accident. And you know, the dangers are out there. The problem, the things like that are out there. And we think to ourselves sometimes when we're corrected that you know what, that I don't like when that happens. I don't like it when my father corrects me. I don't like it when someone punishes me. And sometimes God will work on us. Things will come into our life, and we'll think to ourselves, you know, I don't like it that God did this to me. I don't like that God allowed this to come into my life. I don't like it. I don't agree that I have to go through this difficult thing right now. You know, just this past week, I was at the house, and my wife took her father to Toledo for a doctor's appointment. I believe that was on Tuesday, and the kids were at work, and Suzanne was in school, and I was at home by myself. I thought I'm gonna have some time to get some work done on the computer, and I was excited. I was glad. It was quiet in the house. And I went downstairs to my little office area I have, and I was just getting on the computer, and I heard something funny coming from the laundry room, utility room where the furnace is and the water heater and the sump pump in there. And I heard something funny, a funny sound. And I went in there and looked, and the sump pump was acting real funny. And I looked at it, and I was trying to mess with it. And if you've dealt with sump pumps before, you know they're slimy, and they're dirty, and they smell, and they're icky. And you know what? I wanted to work on the computer. I wanted to work on stuff. And all of a sudden, this sump pump's acting up. And I knew what happened. The sump pump had went out, and the sump was full of water, and the bobber was sticking straight up. Whatever you call it, I don't know what you call it, but that thing that sticks up, and it wasn't working. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna have to take it out and figure out what's going on. So I unhooked it all and brought it out, and I was working on it, testing it, and I thought, oh, this sump pump's going out, and I wasn't happy about it. I took it to Lowe's and I found another one. I put it in, but it took me about 5 hours from the start to finish, going back and forth to Lowe's, talking with them and seeing what it might be. And about 5 hours later, I finally got it all finished up. When I was done, I stunk. I was wet. I was icky. My hands were slimy. And how many ever put your hand into sump pump before? I mean, it's no fun, is it? I mean, you know, I before you put the new one in, you had to feel it on the bottom and get all that gunk out of there. And I tell you what, it was not a fun thing. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not happy that sump pump went out. But you know what? I thought about it later, and I was going to give testimony on it Wednesday night, but Pastor didn't take too many testimonies. That I'm so glad that it went out that night or that day rather than going out at another time when I could have had 3 or 4 inches of water in my basement. I'm so glad that it went out when it did, and I realized, you know what? God was being merciful to me to allow it to go out when it did, and that I noticed it went out to be able to fix it. When I did, instead of complaining about it, instead of getting grumbly about it, instead of saying, oh God, why did I have to spend nearly $200 to get that fixed? Well, you know what? That's better than spending $2,000 to get your carpet fixed, to get your furniture replaced, to get other things repaired if that sump pump would have went out sometime that I wasn't there. I was away on a trip or something like that. And God was merciful to me to be able to allow that to happen when it did. So I just want to talk to you this morning about a couple points, just 3 or 4 points I want to share with you, and I hope it'll be a help to you. No matter what comes into our lives, no matter what problems come or what difficulties come, number one, I want to say, God is good. Amen? I mean, God is good. Even though that sump pump went out, I could have thought, God, why couldn't you make that sump pump go another year? Why couldn't you make that pump go another 5 years? Why did I have to deal with it? I mean, why did it go out? What? It's going to go out. Things go out. Things happen. But, you know, I'm so glad it happened when it did. It could have been a lot worse. Amen. It could have been a lot worse. God is good. Hey, God's given us good health. God's given you a job. God's blessed you with a great family. God's provided for you. God is good. Amen. If you just go and spend time thinking about all the blessings that God's given you, you'll realize God is good. God's very good to us. That verse we read there in Psalm 145, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is good to all. Amen? He's good. He's not only good, but he's good to all. He's good to everybody. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read to you Matthew 5:45. The Bible says, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He's good to everybody. He's not just good to you or to them or to your neighbor. He's good to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in his sight. He's good to everybody. Amen? You might think, boy, that person always seems like they're being blessed. That person, boy, they have a better house than I do. They have a better car than I do. They have a better this or a better that. And how come I don't have those things? It seems like God's not being right, and he's blessed them and he's not blessed me. Oh, he's blessed you all right. He's blessed us. We just need to open our eyes and see that how good God has been. God is good to all of us. Amen. He sends sun on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Just the other day, my wife and I were driving around. I think we were garage sailing. I don't know. It was about 2 weeks ago, I guess. And we were driving around, and we saw my wife loves sunflowers. She loves to see sunflowers. And this year, she's her first year she got to have we've been married 22 years coming next week. Is our anniversary on the 4th. And we're going away for a few days, and we're looking forward to that. But for 22 years, she hasn't been able to have a garden. She's always wanted to have a garden. And so this year, she was able to have her first garden, 16 feet that way, 32 feet that way. There you go. There's a garden for you, and you work on it. And you know what? She has worked that garden like crazy. And we've got food. We just the other day, we ate. Everything we ate came from our garden. And we have a vegetable dinner sometimes. We have green beans and potatoes and carrots. But everything we ate that day came from our garden. And boy, what a satisfaction that was, just to be able to enjoy our garden. But this was my wife's first year. And this year, she said, I want to put some sunflowers up. Or she calls them sunshinies, okay? And that's her name, sunshinies for sunflowers. And she said, I want to put some sunshinies up. And so she planted some in the back. But she wanted some big ones. She didn't want just little ones, whatever. She wanted the monster size ones. And you know what? Those things grew like crazy. And they're like, they got to be 8 foot tall, maybe taller right now. And they're so heavy that the heads, they're leaning over, you know, like that. And you don't get to see them very much because they're just so heavy. And just amazing job she did on the garden. We were out a couple weeks ago, and she saw some sunshinies in somebody else's garden. And they were medium-sized sunshinies, sunshinies, that's her word for them. But they were medium sized, and boy, they looked perfect. They were medium sized, they were bright, they were happy looking, and just row after row of them, and they looked real neat. She said, I remember her saying to me, how come my sunshinies don't look like that? How come my sunshinies aren't pretty like that? I said, well, you got the big ones is why. And, you know, they hang over and they're just so big. I said, maybe next year you can do some medium ones or whatever. I don't know what you do. You talk to the people at Barrett's. I don't know how you figure that out. But I said, but maybe next year maybe not plant so big ones. I said, then they'll look nice and you can enjoy them more. But, you know, that person who had those perfect sunflowers, I don't know if they were saved or not, but you know what? God gave them good sunflowers that year, enough that my wife even commented on them. And here my wife is, she's saved, she's serving the Lord, she's doing right, and her sunflowers are over like this. You know, they're heavy like that. But you know what? We enjoy them still. We still enjoy them. And next year, her first year doing a garden, she's going to do different sunflowers next year. But you know, God's good to all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if the farmer down the road is just wicked as the devil and wicked as the day is long. You know, his stuff's going to grow too. God's going to allow his things to grow just as well as somebody else's field to grow. Behind us right now, there's where we live, God gave us a little home out there on Tipton Highway. It was a HUD home, auctioned home, and we put some work into it, and God's blessed us with that. But there's a soybean field behind us, and I thought to myself, boy, it's going to be neat seeing those soybeans grow throughout the year. And you know what? We watched them grow from the time he planted them all the way up now. And now this field is just so full. Across the street, there's corn. You know, it's probably 7 feet high right now, and just grew from a seed. You know, God allows that to happen, whether you're good or you're evil. He's good to all of us. Amen. And look there in that verse again. It says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." His tender mercy. Boy, God's merciful, amen? Number one, God's good. Number two, God's merciful, amen? He is merciful to us. Mercy, I'm going to give you a definition for that. Mercy is this: compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy, compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it's within one's power to punish or harm. You know, I just give you an example here. If a criminal got caught in the act of doing something wrong, he stole something and he's standing before the judge and everything's all done, all the evidence is in, all the testimony's in, everything's all done, and he's found guilty. And all he has to do now is stand before the judge, and the judge is going to tell him his sentence. He's going to tell him his punishment. This is the punishment that you're going to receive. You know, when that man stands up, when that guilty criminal stands up, he's not going to stand up and say, "I just demand what I have coming to me." Is he? He's not going to do that. What's he going to say? He's going to say, "Mercy, mercy. Judge, show me mercy. Judge, may the court show mercy on me." And that's, he's going to be begging for mercy because he's guilty. He's found guilty. You know, and it's within that judge's power to be able to say, "You're going to get 5 years or you're going to get 5 days," or whatever it might be. It's up to that person, and it's up to the judge to be merciful or not. And you know what? Jesus, or God the Father, is merciful to us. If we got, like Tim talked earlier, if we got what we deserve, we'd burn in hell. Isn't that right? If we got what we deserve, we would all be very unhappy people. But praise the Lord, thank God that he is merciful to us. The Bible says that look there in verse number 9 once again. It says his tender mercies are over all his works. In other words, everything that comes into our lives has passed through his tender mercies. Everything that's come through our lives has been pre-approved and has already gone through his mercies. And when it reaches to us, we can accept it. We can take it. We can deal with it, no matter what it might be. No matter what difficulties come in our lives. No matter what troubles have come. It's already passed through his mercies. I want to show you something real quick. Got a little illustration for you. I've got a... Let's put that right there. Maybe not. Let's do it like this. No, you can't see it over there then. Let's do that. Okay, that is a filter, a water filter, and I've got some water. So what do you do with one of these? You put the water in top, and let me make sure I do this right. Inside here is a filter. Let me take this apart. I'm sure, good thing I showed you because the filter came out. There's the filter, and it goes in like so. You didn't know you're going to learn something like this morning, did you? And there's the water, and I'll pour the water into there. And you'll see in the bottom, you might be able to see it there, how the water is filtering through there. And this lid goes back on. And I'll try not to spill it. And slowly, that water I poured in will go through that filter and into the reservoir to be able to drink it after that. And some of you maybe have some of these at home, something like this, but it takes a little time. This seems like it's going pretty quick. So we've had them before. I've had them before in Ireland, especially. We filter all of our water. It just barely drips through. It just goes real slow. But this seems like it's going pretty good. But that water is sitting in this reservoir on top, and it's going through this filter, and it's going through a carbon filter, and it's sifting out many of the impurities. I can't say all of them, but it's sifting out all different impurities, different things that shouldn't be in there, and it's going through, and it's collecting at the bottom here, making it a cleaner water than when it went in. And I don't know where the water came from. There it is. Looks like it's done now. And so in that filter now are impurities that were in there for here, and now they're not in here. And it's the same way with God, is that God, when he's going to punish us, when he's going to allow something to come into our life, maybe a difficulty or a pump going out or a trouble, something coming up that is a difficult time for you. He's already allowed that to go through his mercy. His tender mercies are a filter that he's allowed everything to be pre-approved and gone through already. In our house, one of the things when we got our home was. One of the blessings was the people who owned it before had been empty for, I think, 2 years. Nobody had lived in it. And one of the things that had been put in the house several years before was a very good water softening system. We have a well on our home there. We're not on the city water. But a very good a water softening system put in. As a matter of fact, we had a water softener guy out the other about 2-3 weeks ago, and he looked at it. He said that's probably an $8,000 unit with everything that's in there. He said the owner's probably paid about $8,000. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. That was amazing. But he was telling me about it, and after the water softening unit, there's a reverse osmosis unit. And so on our kitchen, we have a little faucet that will give you very, very good filtered water. And so the water softener guy was telling me about how the water softener works. He said, now in the city, he said, they will test your water. And if your water has anything over 500 parts per million, particles, 500 particles per million, if that's what it tests as, that they consider that safe water. Safe water to drink. So if it reads anything under 500, you're good. And so he tested my well water right out of the well, no, just being water softened. That was it. Not through the RO unit, the reverse osmosis unit, and it came out to like 437. My test was. He said your water right from the well, just being water softened, is safe to drink. And he said, I see you have an RO unit. He said, let's check that. And what the RO unit is? This is, I'll tell you exactly what happens for our water. Our water comes into the house. And it goes through a big filter as part of our water softening unit. Just an extra type of filter. It's a tall filter, about that tall, and just a big, big canister type filter. From there, it goes into another filter that's on our wall. It's about a 12-inch filter like that. It gets replaced every 6 months. And from there, it goes into another big canister, and that's where the salt gets added to it. From there, it goes into our reverse osmosis system, which is one filter on the wall. And then from there, it goes into, which is like a very similar to this kind of a filter. And then it goes into the second filter, which is like a solid rubber membrane, a very, very thick, very, very heavy-duty type of filter. And if you can imagine water trying to go through a solid rubber membrane, just a very, very good filter. And then it goes from there into a tank, sits there, and then when you turn the faucet on upstairs, the water comes out of there, goes through another filter, and then it goes. Then it goes through, and for you to be able to drink. And he said that water should test. He said the water right from your tap should be about 500 or under. He said, but the water from your RO unit should be between 20 and 30, 20 or 30 particles per million. I mean, that is pretty good filtering. Amen. But even better than that is God's tender mercies. If he allows something to pass through his tender mercies before it reaches us, that's pretty good filtering, I think. Even better than somebody who gets a filtered water or something from a reverse osmosis system. Boy, God is good to us. Amen. Amen. He is good and he is merciful to us. I won't have you turn there, but 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "For he is good and his mercy endureth forever." Hey, his mercy doesn't run out, amen? His mercy is there all the time. It doesn't run out. It doesn't wear out. It doesn't clog up. This filter in here, I have to replace it every now and then. There's a little light on here on the top that tells me when it needs to be replaced. You know, God's mercy, it never gets clogged up. It never gets messed up or anything like that. It's always good. It's always refreshing when it passes through his tender mercies. His tender mercy endureth forever. I'm going to give you a definition of endurance. The Bible's a definition of endurance, dictionary, not the Bible, but the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Boy, his mercy just continues to endure and endure and endure. You know, so when God allows things to come into our life, we've got to realize God's good and he's merciful. Amen? And never forget that God is good and he's merciful. Number three, God is always right. God is always right. You know, so many times, boy, we think we're right. We think we know more than God. You know, and I mean, God is ageless. He's not a million years old. He's not 10 million years old. He's ageless. He's always been, and he always will be, and I'm only 43 years old. I mean, how can I think I know more than God? How can any of us think that we know more than God? Even if we collected all of our years of knowledge together and it came up to I don't know how many years, it still doesn't even compare to God's knowledge. God is right and we're always wrong. Amen? I mean, unless we're agreeing with God. You know, when I thought my dad was being mean to me, when I thought he wasn't treating me right, I thought he was wrong. But when I realized later that he was doing it for my own good, I knew he was right. And that made me wrong. And if we realize that God is good, if we just realize that first point that God is good, we'll agree that God is always right. If we realize that God is good, we'll realize that he is always right. He's right. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. Boy, God is always true. He's always righteous. He's always fair with us. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 4, you don't have to turn there, it's right there, but you don't have to turn there. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Boy, men make mistakes, but boy, God's not going to make a mistake. God's not going to do something that's wrong and look down later and say, you know what? I wasn't fair to that. I wasn't right to that person. I shouldn't allow that to come into his life because he wasn't able to handle it. Look, he failed. No, he allowed it to happen because he knew that we could resist, we could deal with it. We could handle it. You know, Tim said something in Sunday school that our family's gone through a few times already. Is you know, they're about to say let their son go off to college, and a lot further than we let ours go off. Ours is just 3.5 hours away. It is 3.5 hour flight away. And but Darren's about to head off to college, and it's a difficult time for them. And there's others in here. You've dealt with the same thing. And I remember we let our son off to college, and we took him and dropped him off. Boy, my wife was just crying half the way home. She just was tears, and I had a few tears. You know, just a little bit. And then when Kendall went off to college, boy, you know, it's a difficult time. And we think to ourselves, when you're going through that, you think, I can't do this. I can't allow this to happen. And you want to just grab your kids and throw them back in the car and say, I'm taking you home. You're never leaving. You know, you're not going to get married till you're 40 years old and you're staying home with us. And that's the feeling that you have. But you really, you know what? You can get through it. As Tim mentioned, you know, it'll be a little time. It'll be a little adjustment. But you know what? You're going to get through it. You're going to be okay. And it's not only that, but there are other things that come into our life that God's allowed. But you know, we can get through it. Because he's good, and he's merciful, and he's right. I'm going to read you another verse here. Psalm 25, verse number 8. The Bible says, "But good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will I teach sinners in the way." Good and upright. Upright means strictly honorable and honest. Boy, God is strictly honorable and honest. God's not going to be dishonest with you. God's not going to throw something your way that you can't handle it and just make you feel like you can handle it, but you really can't. Boy, if he throws something your way, you can handle it. It's already passed through his tender mercies. He's already being merciful to you. You know, if I would have, once again, if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell. Aren't you glad this morning that God is merciful to us? You know, aren't you glad that he is long-suffering with us? You know, so many times I think to myself, boy, if God is just so patient with me. I fail God, and I know what's right to do, and sometimes I don't do it. And I think to myself, God, why do you put up with me? God, why do you deal with me? Why don't you just send a lightning bolt and just deal with me right now? And I thank God, I thank the Lord that he doesn't. I say, God, thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for being merciful to me. Thank you for being long-suffering with me, because God, I fail you. And I'm so glad that he is long-suffering. And next number right here, I want to mention to you, God is all-knowing. God is all-knowing. Hey, he knows everything, amen? And he already knows that if you go down a certain path, that you're gonna, this is what's gonna happen to you. We do this with our children. We know that if they go down a wrong path, a path maybe we've been down, I know that, you know what, that path is gonna lead to destruction. That path is gonna lead to unhappiness. That path is gonna lead to unfruitfulness, and you don't wanna go down that path. And so we try to warn our children, be careful for that path, because I've been down that path. You may not want to go down this way, because I've been that way and this is what it leads to. And I try and direct them. I try to help them. They may not understand right now, but later I hope they would understand. But you know, God, he's all knowing. And here we are. We go down a path. Maybe we get on our own agenda, our own tangent, and we say, I'm going to go this way and I'm going to do this. And God sends something our way to kind of divert us off. And we think to ourselves, you know, why that happened? Why won't God let me do what I want to do? Well, you know, he's all knowing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what where that leads. He knows that, you know, you won't be happy there, and that's not where you need to be. And he's all knowing. He already knows what's going to happen. In Psalm 139, the Bible tells that we're told that God knows what we think. He knows what we do. He knows where we go. He knows what we say. He knows what we need. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. You know, I imagine some of us men in here are probably in this situation. Have you ever done something maybe or said something that you wished you never said? I mean, I've done that before. I've done that where I've said something and then I wish I could pull it back. I wish, you know, and it gets me in trouble. I'll say something and it gets me in trouble and I say, oh, I wish I never would have said that. You know, maybe you ladies, the same thing. You said something, you say, oh, I wish I could pull that back. I wish I could retract that, rewind my life and pull that back so I don't say it. Because boy, if I'd have known it would have got me in that much trouble, I never would have said it. I mean, how many have been there before where you've said something you wish you would never have said it? I've been there. And I wish I would have known. But you know, we're not all knowing. We don't know what if I say this, it's going to get me in trouble. Or if I do that, it's going to lead me down. It's going to be some consequences that I'm going to have to pay for that. I'm not all knowing, but God is all knowing. And we just need to trust him. You know, there have been times I've said things and I say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. You know, and about, at the end of the day, especially because I've gone through it maybe for several hours, that I think, boy, if I wouldn't have said that this morning, I wouldn't have done that this morning, wouldn't have gotten me in trouble. Maybe you've done that. Maybe with your wives, your wife will come out. She'll get dressed nice, maybe for Sunday for church, and she'll come out and she'll say, "How do I look?" Oh boy, that's dangerous, isn't it, guys? That's dangerous right there. How do I look? And you say something like this: "Oh, that dress doesn't look half bad." Boy, you're in trouble. Amen. You're in trouble. I mean, half bad isn't half good either. Amen. You don't want to say something like that to your wife. Or she spends an hour doing her hair and doing her makeup, and she does all that, and she comes out and she says, and you say, "Oh, when are you going to do your hair?" Boy, you're in trouble. Amen. I mean, you're in trouble. She just did her hair, and you didn't notice, and boy, you're in trouble. And you think to yourself, "Oh, boy, I messed up. Boy, I wish I could take that back." But you can't take it back, you know. Or maybe you don't say anything at all. You know, she gets herself dressed up nice and her hair done and her makeup and everything else. And you say, "Okay, let's go." And you go, and you don't say anything. And boy, you wish you can go back a few minutes and then maybe say something. Amen. Or maybe your wife makes you a nice meal. And boy, she's been slaving in the kitchen and making a nice meal for you and preparing everything. And everything's set at the table and looks real good and looks real nice. And she calls you to the table and you come to the table and you pray and you eat and you don't say anything about the meal. You don't say, "Boy, this chicken tastes great," or "Boy, this tastes wonderful," and "Boy, what did you do to this? Boy, this tastes fantastic." You don't say anything. And all of a sudden, you notice your wife's quiet. And you think to yourself, what did I do wrong? It's not what you said, it's what you didn't say. And you wish you can go back and say, you say something like, by the way, this is a very good meal. And it's too late then. You wish, you know, it's too late to correct it then. And some of you right now are getting it because that happened this morning. And so your wife's elbowing you right there. You know, there's one time I remember, well, there's many times I've done that. But, and I wish I could go back. But there's one time I remember, I'll share with you. My wife and I were just married. And we lived over on Chestnut and Ormsby, right there in the corner. We had a little apartment. And just a little place. It's a goofy apartment, really. The living room was downstairs. Everything else was upstairs. Just really weird concept. But I remember I came home from work one day, working in Tecumseh. I came home, and I was tired and everything. I cleaned up, and my wife prepared meal in the kitchen there, and we had an eat-in kitchen, and we sat down, just newlyweds, and she didn't know how to prepare hardly anything, really. And just did the best she could, and I sat down, and she I don't even remember what all was with it, but the main course was fried bologna. And how many ever had fried bologna? Okay, how many like fried bologna? Okay, you know what? I've never had fried bologna. And when I saw, I mean, I was hungry. I was steak and potatoes, you know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I didn't buy steak and potatoes. Why do I expect I'm going to get steak and potatoes? But she put before me fried bologna. And I thought to myself, what is this? She goes, well, that's fried bologna. My grandpa eats fried bologna, and he makes this, and he likes it and everything else. So I thought I'd make it for you. I go, I don't eat fried bologna. And I got upset, and I got mad. And I thought to myself, how stupid am I? I mean, Tim, here's my wife. She made a meal. I was out working. She made a meal for me. She worked in the kitchen. She did the best she could. And I'm going to just up my nose at what she made. How stupid is that? And I have regretted that so many times. And, you know, I wish I could turn back the clock. I would eat the fried bologna and not say a word. I wish I could do that, but I can't. And ever since then, I've told my wife, says, whatever you put before me, I'll eat. And sometimes she's tested me. No. But whatever you put before me, I'll eat it. And I've not complained about anything she's put before me. And there's some things she knows I don't prefer, and it's got that in it, but I'll eat it, and I don't say anything about it. My kids are a little pickier. They pick this out and that out, whatever, but they'll learn when they get married, you can't do that also. You know, you eat what's given to you. But I wish I could turn back the clock and change that. And there's other things I wish I could change too. But you know what? God, He's all-knowing. And He knows if you go down this path, this is what's going to happen, and He's going to send correction maybe or chastening, and you know what? He's right. He's right. He's all-knowing. And the last thing I want to mention to you is God is caring. He's caring for us. He loves us. John 3:16, we all know the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Boy, He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Boy, He cares for us. You know, well, you know, when I maybe punish my children or chasten them or whatever, it's because I care for them, because I love them, and I don't want them to go the wrong direction or go down the wrong path. And you know, when God sends those things our way as well, it's because He cares for us, because He loves us. He's watching out for us. He knows. He's all knowing. He knows what it's going to lead to, and He's just trying to correct us. But understand, anything that comes in our lives, it's all passed through His tender mercies. His tender, not just mercy, but His tender mercies. He's handling us with soft velvet gloves. He's handling us, and He's being so merciful and so tender and so caring to us because He loves us. So I want to just encourage you that, you know, when you go through those difficult times, when you deal with something, when you're going through a hard time or circumstances come your way that you say, boy, I wouldn't welcome this. I don't want this. Understand, it's already passed through His tender mercies. He's loving, He's good, He's merciful, He's all-knowing, and He's caring for us as His children. Let's pray.